Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, December 16th. I'm Ray Graff. Support comes from Berkshire Plastic Surgeons in Great Barrington on Pittsfield, offering skin cancer screenings, Botox injections, fillers, cosmetic, and reconstructive surgery. BerkshirePlasticSurgeons.com. Joining us today is Dr. Raj Murthy of New Vance Health. Dr. Murthy is an interventional pain management physician and physiatrist. Dr. Murthy specializes in the treatment of musculoskeletal pain caused by arthritis, degenerative joint disease, degenerative disc disease, and spinal stenosis. If you have a question, call early. That's my advice. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551 or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Back after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Medical Monday, and joining us today is Dr. Raj Murthy of New Vance Health. Dr. Murthy is an interventional pain management physician and physiatrist specializing in pain management, regenerative, and rehabilitation medicine. Dr. Murthy specializes in the treatment of musculoskeletal pain caused by arthritis, degenerative joint disease, degenerative disc disease, and spinal stenosis. He is experienced in treating spine pain, joint pain, neuropathic pain, peripheral neuralgia, complex regional pain syndrome, migraines, and pain following surgery. If you have a question for Dr. Murthy, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Raj Murthy, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gray. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been about a year now, right?
It has.
Well, how's the year gone?
It's been very good, very productive.
Yeah.
Practice is getting busier, so going well.
Well, that's very good. Now, before we start taking calls and such, I just want to make sure. One thing you do not do is oral pain medications, right? So we can take those questions out of the pool at this time.
Yes.
Okay. But I did want to talk to you about this, and frankly, I don't even know where to begin here, but something you specialize in is neuromodulation. You better explain it so that even people like me can understand.
Sure, yeah. Neuromodulation is pretty much, you know, a treatment option for people who are suffering from chronic pain. It's a treatment option that involves technology and medicine combined.
Okay.
It's where these, we activate your where mechanical, magnetic, and electrical impulses are used to dampen nerve fibers that are hyperfiring for people who are suffering from chronic pain.
So you're putting electricity right into the spinal cord?
Yeah, yes, that is absolutely right. It's these small wires, they're called leads, and they have these little contacts, and they send these small electrical impulses that dampens nerves from hyperfiring. All your nerves in your body, they meet in your spinal cord. So we kind of dampen them when they get into your spinal cord.
So all your nerves?
The nerves are firing, hyperfiring from your pain.
But will it affect other sensations that you depend on your spinal cord for?
Sure. We actually would put those wires in specific locations. That's where your pain stimulus is being generated from.
And so we have a map. Okay, this is interesting to me. And I'll talk to you more about how this neuromodulation works. But there's a map of basically the spinal cord and where the pain generates?
Yes, there is a map between the dermatomes where each particular nerve that comes out of your spinal cord goes to a different part of your body. That concerns the dermatorial pain pattern. And by inhibiting specific dermatorial patterns, we can overall suppress the pain that you're having.
So this neuromodulation device, how big is it? It goes under your skin, right?
Yes. So the neuromodulation device, the good thing about this is there's two phases to it. There's a trial phase and a permanent implant.
Okay.
So the trial phase is actually a 7-day trial where you test out the device. Nothing is permanently put into you.
You tape it on?
That's exactly right.
Really?
Yes. So it does involve a procedure where we do an injection, and in that injection there's a needle. We put a little wire, and we actually thread that wire into your spine.
Amazing.
Half of that wire is in your spine. The other half is outside of your body. We tape that portion to your back with some body tape, And then we have a battery that's also taped to your back. And then I ask the person to just live their life for the next 7 days. See if
How do you sleep?
Sleeping could be challenging just because laying on your back, so they might sleep on their side or et cetera. But they're going to notice significant pain relief that if they're having pain or lack of sleep due to pain, that's going to improve their quality of living. And we look for measurements in three categories: improvement in their symptoms, their pain, improvement in their quality of living, and improvement in their activities. If we're at least able to get at least 50% improvement in that, we consider that a successful trial. On day 7 of the trial, I see them in my office. I just take those wires out. So there's a little pull and the wires just fall out. And then we schedule them for a permanent implant where those wires that were kind of outside of their body is all put in under their skin.
But the device stays on the outside of your body?
Goes under the skin. It's usually put right above your butt cheek in that fat area of your body.
All right. And do people take some time to get used to that?
Yeah, it could take some time. You know, you're going to feel like a little discomfort from a battery. You'll feel a little swollen possibly. But eventually with time, you know, our body does adjust and you don't feel that presence over there anymore.
How did this device, how did they experiment? How do you know that it does what it's supposed to do?
Yeah, so that's the big thing about the trial. So if, say, a person, a lot of times people that I treat who have requirements for spinal cord stimulator are people that might have had chronic pain for a very long time. They've done concerted treatment options like physical therapy, chiropractor. They've been on a whole source of medications. It's all failed. They've done numerous injections, didn't work. And they might have even done surgery, spine surgery, back surgeries. They have hardware. And all of this might have worked for some point, but our body continues to degenerate. Our body, we get older and our body continues to wear down. And they might not be candidates for surgeries, injections anymore, or we know it's just not going to work.
Interesting.
So this is that palliative option for these people. And by doing this trial, they have, I would say within days, they see significant relief in their symptoms. And then on day 7, they tell me if they're happy with it, if this is something that they want to proceed with long term, because it is a commitment. Once we do this procedure, you know, we're going to have improvements. But it could be slow improvements, could be drastic improvements as well.
We're joined today by Dr. Raj Murthy of New Vance Health. We talk pain management today. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. I guess if this device does not have some sort of a nuclear battery, it's going to run out at some point.
It does. So it's not a nuclear battery. There's two types. There's chargeable and non-rechargeable. It all depends on the frequency that the stimulator is used on. It's used on a sub-threshold frequency. So it's kind of like the way I like to use it is, say, if we all have smartphones and we all have apps running on the back, we might be just looking on our contacts, but we have something else running on the back. That's the same thing how this runs. It just runs in the background, and a non-rechargeable battery could have a lifespan of close to maybe 6 to 8 years.
Uh-huh. So you mean when you say frequency, you're not talking about the frequency of the electrical signal. You're talking about duty cycle, how often it's on and how
exactly.
often it's not on.
Yeah. So the way they do it is they do it either a burst cycle or a tonic cycle. A burst cycle is where it kind of bursts for a couple of seconds to a minute, then kind of is off for a couple of minutes and bursts back. Tonic is when it's constantly just on the whole time.
Yeah.
And it depends on your therapy. Some people might want that tonic on all the time, and some people the burst works better for them. And when you use a tonic setting, your battery lifespan might not be as long as we want it. When you do a burst setting, the battery lifespan would be longer. With chargeable batteries, you know, the lifespan, we really don't know because you charge it maybe once a week or twice a month. The way it works is they have like a little, like a weightlifting belt, which connects to an outlet and you charge that. And when you need to charge the battery, you just put the belt on and then you go on your day and it takes about 2 hours for that to charge.
Amazing. How many people are using these today across the country?
I don't know a set amount, but I mean, since I've been at New Vance at Vassar, a lot of patients have them.
And this is just for back pain?
It's not just for back pain. It could be for back pain, neck pain. Could be for people that have like diabetic neuropathy in their feet.
Will it help the sensation in their
it
feet?
Will. Yes.
Amazing.
Will. Yes.
And how long have these been around?
It's been on out since like the 1960s, 1970s.
Really?
And it was used more often then. But then I would say in the 90s into early 2000s, it took a little side backwards.
Why? Because of the opioid epidemic?
Exactly. But and now with the opioid epidemic, more people are more prone to have these other treatment options because this is a viable treatment options where people not only improve their quality of living, but what they do every single day and the side effects that come, tolerance, dependence is also very less likely.
You know, in my experience, or maybe I was taught this, that pain sometimes is a warning signal. Oh, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not feeling that pain, is there a danger? Is there a secondary danger from using something like this?
Sure. So pain, if it's an acute pain, it's a great warning sign. When it's chronic pain, your body is taking a toll. It's constantly pain for you. If you have this device and you have a new pain, say, unfortunately, you fell down or you were in a car accident or something, you will feel that new pain.
Yeah.
It's more for chronic pain.
Understood. Dr. Raj Murthy is our guest. We'll take a break and then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551 on this edition of Medical Monday. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back. Mr. Lucky, that's me. 800-348-2551. That's the number. It's a Vox Pop Medical Monday. Ray Graff with you. We're joined by Dr. Raj Murthy of New Vance Health, and we'll go to the phones. We'll begin in Westchester County. Amanda, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Murthy. I have had severe back pain for quite some time. I've had numerous surgeries, and I'm essentially at a loss, and I really don't want to continue having surgery. You just spoke about neuromodulation. Someone that has chronic back pain for years and has already undergone surgery, do you think that I am a candidate for this type of method or procedure?
Hi, Amanda. Thanks for calling in. You know, especially if you're... If your symptoms from your back pain are non-surgical, meaning you've seen your orthopedic spine surgeon or a neurosurgeon and they've pretty much came to the conclusion that non-surgically there's no treatment option for your pain, then you would be a very good candidate for a spinal cord stimulator. And once again, the best thing about this is you get to try it out. You get to test it out where no surgical implantation is done. And if you get the relief and you're happy with that relief, we would talk about permanent implantation at that point.
All right, Amanda.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. So you're attaching wires
mm-hmm.
to the spinal cord. So there are two wires?
So I wouldn't say we're attaching. Two wires, usually. Sometimes you can go up to four wires as well, depending how grand their pain is. But it's usually two wires. We actually just place it. So
on the outside.
So if you ever had an epidural injection for pain. So it's a needle that we put into an epidural space in your spine, and we put medicine through that needle and it goes into your spine. So this is very similar concept where we do an epidural injection pretty much into your epidural space, but instead of putting medicine, we put that wire through that needle, and through that wire it goes into your spine.
So it goes through your skin into
your spinal canal into your epidural space.
Right. Are there dangers when placing this wire? Epidurals can be dangerous.
Of course. There's always risks and complications that can take place. Common side effects could be headaches, which is common with epidural injections. Infections could be common as well. Pain at the site of the procedure is common. Unlikely, you know, paralysis and things like that. But that is always a potential thing that could take place.
And when you have the wires, they're coming out of your skin. Mm-hmm. They have to come out at some point,
yes.
Right? Is there a danger about infection? Just there's a hole there where that wire goes in.
Yeah. So usually there is because there's a direct channel from outside of your skin going all the way into your spinal canal. During those 7-day trial, I always start the patients on a 7-day course of antibiotics, mm-hmm. oral antibiotics, so that decreases the chances of them.
once it's inside, that's not a problem.
It's not inside, yeah. So I usually, you know, there's always a chance for infection taking place, but
yeah.
We tell them to be careful. We always monitor them during the 7 day trial as well.
Pain management today on Medical Monday with Dr. Raj Murthy of New Vance Health. And let's see here. We'll go to Southern Delaware. Mimi, hi. Hello there in Southern Delaware.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Calling today because I'm a 72-year-old woman who was diagnosed with adult onset scoliosis about 2.5 years ago. And at the time, I was living in New York City, so I went to the Spine Center at Columbia Presbyterian, had great care, but was told the two most important things I can do is exercise and weight control. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some days I can take some Advil or ibuprofen, and, you know, I'm dealing with it, but it is a chronic issue. And especially, I am active. I go to the Y. I'm in the pool 5 days a week for an hour at a time. I ride my bike. I do my floor exercises. I went to PT. I'm compliant with all of those. But by 5 o'clock at night, I have pain in my back, and I'm just ready to sit down and just be done with the day. My doctor at the time said, well, I could give you some muscle relaxers. And I said, well, how's that going to make me feel? Well, it can make you feel a little woozy and tired. And I said, no, thanks. I need to, like, get through dinner. I said, I think I'd rather have a glass of wine or a shot of bourbon. And he said, I think that's a better option. But I'd like your opinion. Is there anything that you would recommend that I can do on my own to, alleviate this pain?
Okay.
Sure, that's a great question, Mimi, and thank you for, you know, reaching out to us. I think treatments that, you know, and I'm glad you're already doing concerted treatment cares like physical therapy and you're staying active on your own. I would advise you to continue to do that. You can always consider oral medications. A good, powerful NSAID would be ideal for you if you were to come to me. At least something that you could possibly take, maybe since you said your pain's usually around 5 or 6 in the afternoon, you know, take it around an hour before, preventive wise, and hopefully that could help you throughout the rest of the evening. You can try hot packs, cold packs, you could try like lidocaine patches. I'm assuming most of your pain is just in your lower back, and those are some treatment options. If they don't work, you can always consider interventional options as well. When you do have adult onset scoliosis, you probably have a lot of degeneration in your spine, and you can benefit from possible nerve blocks, nerve ablations, which could give you more pain relief.
Mimi.
Yes, I did have two of those in New York, and they helped, but they were short-lived.
Okay. There are other treatment options. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say the best I feel is when I'm in the pool, but I can't live my life in a swimming pool, mm-hmm, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
You can always try hot tubs as well, whirlpools. Those are also good for your back, being in places that have good buoyancies. Those are good options as well for non-interventional options.
Mimi, thanks a lot for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Raj Murthy of New Vance Health joins us. Do you ever get into mind over matter, meditation, and things like that to control pain?
Yeah, I think that's really important. The psychological component with people that have chronic pain is very important. It's just not a physical issue anymore. When you have it for years and years, it takes a toll on you mentally. I always, whenever I see people in my office, I tell them, I try to assess if there's any signs of any kind of depression, anxiety that comes with it. And it goes hand in hand. Chronic pain and anxiety, depression goes hand in hand. And if there are signs of them, I always ask them, are you seeing any kind of specialist, a therapist, a psychiatrist, et cetera? Because I can do my best of my ability to help there with their physical pain. But psychological pain probably will last even longer once your physical pain is gone. And if that is something that we can also tackle in that venue, I think people will have a more comprehensive relief.
Dr. Raj Murthy, our guest. Back to the phones, 800-348-2551. We go to New Haven, Connecticut. Victor, you're on. Hello, Victor. Roger, Roger, Victor. Okay, you're done. 800-348-2551. That's our telephone number. And, you know, if you got a chance when I pick up the phone, say something. It's a good thing to do. Bill in Woodstock. Bill, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, Ray. Good afternoon, doctor. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'll ask a question and then I'll hang up. Doctor, and just wanted to know if you had any recommendations for the following. I have 5-millimeter spondylolisthesis, mm-hmm. L4, L5, and had it for years, get low back pain right across the sacrum into the SI joint. I'm active, not overweight. I find that stretching helps. When the hamstrings get tight, the back pain is worse. Do Epsom salts baths, that's some relief. So would neuromodulation be something that would potentially help? One. Two, is there anything else I can be doing to prevent that 5 millimeters from getting greater? Mm-hmm. And in your experience, and probably equally important today, do insurance companies smile upon the use of neuromodulators? Mm-hmm. I'll hang up now, and again, I appreciate it.
Well, that last one's a good one, yeah. Bill. Thanks. All right, go ahead, Doc.
Great questions, Bill. I mean, with your spondylolisthesis, you're kind of in that mid to moderate range over there. So you would want to, you know, at least see your provider, either your general practitioner or your pain provider or a surgeon, to have at least, you know, regular checkups at least once a year to make sure that's not further progressing. When the spondylolisthesis becomes greater, say a stage 3, a stage 4.
What is that again?
So spondylolisthesis is when there's a slippage in your vertebral bodies in your spine.
So slip disc?
No, different. Where okay. The actual bones of your spine.
Okay.
So the bones are supposed to be stacked on top of each other in a good straight line.
Right.
Slippage is when it goes forward.
Okay.
And depending on the severity is the treatment options.
All right.
Grade 1, grade 2, you just monitor. You could have some pain. You could do injections. For him, I would advise him to continue doing conservative care, working really good on his core abdominal strength muscles, his core back muscles as well. So if those muscles are working well, it's going to keep things in place for him.
Right.
We want to prevent progression from taking place. Pain-wise, there's always medications, and then there's also interventional procedures because you're going to have joint pain that comes with it. When one part of your spine is kind of moved forward, other areas have to compensate for it. The
yes.
facet joints are hyperextended now, so they have to be compensated. For him, neuromodulation would probably be an option tail end. It's not something that we jump straight into for people. It's
why?
Because it's kind of like your, you know, bottom of the ninth. You know, you're batting.
Yeah.
You know, with the bases loaded and you left two outs.
Are you going to take a shot at the Mets now? Because frankly, it'd be offensive. All right, go ahead.
So it's that option over there. So we want to do, I always want to do the least invasive thing possible and hopefully get maximum benefits from it.
Yeah.
So I would like to try those things first, step by step. And if all of those fail, there's neuromodulation that can help out.
And the final question from our caller, do insurance companies look askance, or are they on board with this?
Yes and no. It depends. If they tried everything has failed, they're more prone to approving it. If we're throwing it as the first option, most likely not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Number here is 800-348-2551. Why do you think that is?
It's our medical care system. You know, so see, not everyone needs neuromodulation. Sometimes, you know, you might need a extensive surgery to really fix the cause. When you're doing neuromodulation, you are putting a big band-aid, is what I would say. You're not fixing anything. You're helping with pain. So if a person has severe spinal stenosis and this spinal stenosis is causing them to have weakness on top of their pain, they're falling, they're having imbalance, they're having loss of bowel control, loss of bowel control, there's other things.
Right.
That needs a neurosurgical decompression to take place. But if the issue is you just have pain and you've seen your surgeons and your surgeon's like, hey, there's nothing. I don't think you should do a surgery. Say you're 81 years old. You have congestive heart failure. You have all of these comorbidities that make you not
a good candidate.
A good candidate for a big surgery. This is what the options are.
I assume it's somewhat tough in any modality in pain management. It's tough to quantify success.
Yes.
I mean, it's so subjective. I suppose That's partly why the opioid thing got so out of hand. Oh, you sir, you've had 12 Vicodins today, but I'm still hurting. You know, so how do you go about in your specific science? How do you go about quantifying relief?
I asked them how their day is, and I asked them what are they doing, how's their quality of living, and what kind of activities. There's, you'll be surprised how many times I've had people that come in and they said, hey, starting off, my pain was a 8 out of 10, and I've done injections, procedures, et cetera. And they're like, well, my pain is a 7 out of 10 right now. I was like, oh, wow. But they're like, oh, you know, I wasn't able to walk or stand before. Now I'm walking for 10 minutes without any pain. I'm able to stand up and cook, clean, et cetera. So, and that's where the psychological component of pain comes through. A lot of people have been living with this for so long that they feel that the pain is something that they have to live with all the time, but they realize that they're improving their activities as well. And that's a big thing that I measured.
Dr. Raj Murthy's our guest today. It's pain management. Dr. Murthy is with New Vance Health. 800-348-2551 is the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Eric writes in, during the past year, my knee has been swelling and becoming more painful. I had reconstructive knee surgery 30 years ago. All was well, but now the pain is becoming unbearable. The stiffness in the knee, making it hard to sleep, causing pain in the calf and the upper leg and the back. Wondering what might be the way to proceed.
Yeah. So that's a great question over there. So he's had knee surgery and, you know, he's still having pain. If he's seen his surgeon and the surgeon's pretty much saying, hey, you know, you're not the surgical candidate anymore. Yeah. Everything looks good. The hardware looks good. Everything is functioning well, but you still have pain. And the reason is when people have surgeries, they have injections, etc., that's to help your current pain. When he's had surgery years ago, doesn't mean your body stops wearing down. Our body still continues to wear down. So you have new symptoms, new generators of pain, which are probably causing the same kind of symptoms. So for him, you know, an ideal treatment option would be something called a peripheral nerve stimulator, which is very similar. It's just neuromodulation, but it's meant for your peripheral limbs, knees, shoulders, ankles. And while a spinal cord stimulator is meant for people that have back pain, pain down the legs, neck pain going down the arms. So I would consider him, you know, if he's tried interventional options, it's failed injections, I would consider possible something called a peripheral nerve stimulator as a treatment option.
Number to call here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Raj Murthy's our guest. Let's grab one more call before the next break, and we'll go to Matamoros, Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on.
Does increasing sleep decrease pain?
All right. Does increasing sleep decrease pain?
Hey, Jim, that's a great question. Yeah, if you can sleep well, I do think, you know, it would help you with your pain. However, most people who are in chronic pain have a very poor sleep cycle. They're waking up because of pain. They have anxiety because of pain. They're not able to sleep. So a lot of the times when I do see people that have chronic pain, if I'm prescribing any kind of medication, like a neuropathic medication, we prescribe a medication that might have some sedative properties with them so that it can actually help them sleep. And when they do get a good night's sleep, they wake up a little more refreshed, a little bit more energized. Psychologically, they're more prepared to tackle the day that's ahead of them and improve their pain as well.
Thanks for the call, Jim. Very quickly, you mentioned the 1 to 10 scale.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it seems rather vague because my 7 might be someone else's 3.
Yeah.
Is there any way you can sort of have a standard set?
It's very subjective.
Yeah.
You know, the funniest thing is when people come in, they say their pain is a 13 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's off the scale. It is a subjective. And that's why I try to listen to every person that comes to me. And I try to tell them, hey, if you're in this much pain, if it's agonizing pain, there might be something that we can't do here. You might need to see some emergency consult immediately. But if not, you know, I ask them what kind of activities that they do. When is their pain worse? Is it in the morning? Is it in the afternoon? And try to get a better understanding of what's causing their pain.
So to some extent, you're like a detective in that you can't really do a reading on someone for their pain. So you're taking testimony and gathering evidence.
Yes.
And that's basically how you roll.
I like to think so.
All right. The number here is 800-348-2551. Zach Malloy, take it away. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with Dr. Raj Murthy after a little James Cotton, a little underwriting, etc. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Medical Monday. Ray Graff with you, joined today by Dr. Raj Murthy of New Vance Health. We talk pain management on this program. A couple more emails, and then we'll jump back to the phones. This is from Sarah, and I don't know where Sarah wrote from. I'm frustrated by how siloed healthcare is and wondered if the doctor has any insight about my question from a more holistic perspective. Last fall, October 23, I had a hip replacement. The replacement was extensive, and much cement needed to be used. This resulted in my left leg being longer than my right leg. I now use a custom-made shoe with the external lift. This fall, I had an 8-level spinal fusion. Neither the hip surgeon, nor the spine surgeon, nor my current physical therapist is willing to measure my gait and heel strike to determine if I need a different size shoe lift. My PT said the machines that do that are too expensive. I don't know anyone who would do that. Is it this really something that isn't done? Should I go to a running shoe store and have them measure? I'm concerned about messing up my back more with the incorrect lift size. And that's from Sarah.
I think you should definitely see someone who's well-equipped and specialized in this. Usually when you have any kind of surgeries, or even us normally when we're born, there's always a half inch to an inch discrepancy between our right or left
You're
leg
kidding me.
And vice versa. It's never perfectly even. So if you know if you're within a 1-inch discrepancy, they're really not going to do anything surgical to alter that. But if it's 2 or 3 inches, yes, that's going to significantly cause a wear and tear on your hips, your spine, prone for you to have falls as well. And that's why hence she might have that toe lift on her shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would advise her to see like a special equipment store that does fitting for shoes, et cetera, for her so that she has the appropriate equipment.
Yeah, and Sarah, if you're listening right now, we do a show with Dr. Douglas Tooman on podiatry several times a year. We'll have another one coming up early next year, and he talks about this sort of thing quite often. But here's one thing that I didn't know from this email. They use cement on hip replacements? Cement.
Sure. Sure.
Just regular?
It's more of like a human bone graft cement kind of okay. material, but it's not like the cement that you're getting.
Interesting. All right, this is from Wendy in Williamstown. I'm 60. I have knee pain from arthritis. I keep active, and that helps, but sometimes my knees really hurt at night. I'm a side sleeper. I've seen foam pillows to fit between the knees. Could this help?
Just repeat that.
Sure. I am 60, have knee pain from arthritis. I keep active, and that helps. But sometimes my knees really hurt at night. I'm a slide sleeper, but I think she means side sleeper. I've seen foam pillows to fit between the knees. Could this help? Any other suggestions? And that's from Wendy in Williamstown.
Sure. Foam pillows can help.
Yeah.
Some kind of cushioning in the area where your legs are not, you know, rubbing against one another could be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, do we sleep in that same position all night long? That's kind of hard to assess. We all toss and turn.
Yeah.
You know, best things for her, you know, she could try some creams for her knees if she's having arthritic pain. There's like lidocaine cream, there's Voltaren gel, things that will help with that kind of stuff. Heat is really good for arthritic pain. You know, heat compress, heat pads, those will be very beneficial as well for her.
All right, this email from Dan, and then we'll go back to the phones. Our number is 800-348-2551. Subject heading from Dan, intermittent numbness and pain in feet, ? About 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with age-related neuropathy. I believe it's primarily related to consistent weakness in my left calf and some intermittent numbness on the bottom of my left foot. I'm now 73 and a half. Oh, good for you. About a year ago, after the numbness, which is getting more persistent, which is now 5 or 6 times a year for a week or a little more each, about 6 months ago, the numbness transitioned to modest stinging pain where the numbness was. A week ago, I had the numbness for a week that transitioned to the moderate stinging pain. About 3 days later, I had the same type of stinging pain at the bottom and back of both heels and in the outside of my right foot, mirroring my left foot. This last instance was more disturbing because I can imagine these pains getting a little worse and leaving me not wanting to walk. Any suggestions?
Yeah, so, I mean, he has neuropathy that's taking place in his feet.
Yeah.
And there's multiple causes for neuropathy. It could be metabolic in nature. It could be if he has any comorbidities such as diabetes, mm-hmm. any kind of cirrhosis can also cause, liver cirrhosis can cause neuropathy as well. Chemical imbalances, if he has a history of any cancer or stuff like that, if he has a history of any taking chemotherapy medications, radiation medications can mm-hmm. cause neuropathy. Mm-hmm. And also neuropathy can come from your spine as well. If you have lumbar stenosis, a radiculopathy, those can cause all the way into your feet. You can get the numbness, the tingling, burning sensations, painful yeah. sensations. So for that, you know, conservative treatment options is try some kind of physical therapy where they can help with those modalities. The things with neuropathy you want to be mindful about is, yes, pain and all that's there. You want to worry about the imbalance that occurs. If you can't feel what you're walking on, you're going to be able to feel wobbly. So interventional procedures are there. Injections, epidural injections could be beneficial for them.
What about neuromodulation?
That's a great thing. That would be our option as well for him, depending on what his cause of his symptoms are. Neuromodulation would be the ideal treatment option.
So getting back to my original question, which was, I'm sure, poorly put, about having a map more or less of the spine and spinal cord, would you place the electrodes, or however you want yeah. to put it, the leads, in different spots if somebody has pain in the foot?
I would. So there's multiple ways to do this. There's different types of neuromodulation spinal cord stimulators as well. There's ones that focus strictly on the axial portion of your spinal cord, and there's one that focuses on something called the dorsal root ganglion. It's called the DRG, which is another location in your spine as well. So every pain doctor has different, they have their own algorithm to put these leads in the exact same place. For a person such as our person with neuropathy over here, I would target the S1 nerves, which yeah. is in your lower spine. And these nerves go in the back of your leg, and they actually innervate the sole of your foot into the top of the foot.
Amazing.
As well. So if he's having pain, numbness, tingling, burning in the bottom of the foot, this would be an option for him. And this is something that I do often for people, and for them to not only feel their feet again, they feel like they're not walking on rocks, you know, pins and needles, to have that sensation to feel the ground, not feeling they're going to fall. Because if you do have this, you fall, you're at risk of having fractures, which can lead to other comorbidities. Mm. And this is a great treatment option for them.
Dr. Raj Murthy's our guest today from Nuvance Health. Back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Let's go to Bob in Barmaveld. Is that where you are?
Yes.
Welcome. You're on the show.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Appreciate the Vox Pop. So I have a severe neuropathy for years. Currently talking to my pain management doctor about the procedure the doctor has spoken about. And he's currently treating me with, I have a CBD roll-on and also a prescription cream. My problem is having the numbness in the feet. I frequently don't know if my foot is on the gas or the brake. Mm. So does this device, it'll take away pain, does it also increase the lack of feeling in the feet?
So, Bob, that's a great question. It's actually going to improve your feeling and your sensation that you have in your feet. By reducing that numbness, that tingling that you have in your foot, you're going to have improvement in your sensation as well. So you should be able to feel the ground, feel the car pedals as well. So this, if you are a candidate for this procedure and your doctor is considering doing this, I would highly suggest it as well. And the best thing is you get to try it out for those 7 days. You get to test it out and see if it really fits your lifestyle, fits what kind of relief you're looking for. And if that's the case, then you would be a great candidate for a permanent implant too.
Bob.
Okay. He has said that in the trial period, he doesn't want you moving very much. Can you drive your car during a trial to see if you're going to be able to feel your feet?
Sure. So one of the criteria, there are some criteria when during the trial period is. One of the criteria is no excessive bending, twisting, or lifting. So these wires are kind of, they're just in your spine. They're just floating. And any abrupt movements can cause them to get dislodged. If it does get dislodged, there's no harm. But we, like we said, we place in a particular part in your spine to cover your feet. And if it gets dislodged from now, it's not covering your feet, it's now covering your thighs or your calves.
Mm.
So those abrupt movements can cause that to get moved, and we don't want that to happen. So you should be able to drive. My advice would be is, it, since it's a 7-day trial, if you're having really good success the first 4 to 5 days where you see significant improvements, I would say day 5 and 6, go for a car drive. Because by that time, the doctor has already established that this is relief is providing, this treatment is providing the relief you want. So if the last 2 days there's any migration of those wires, that's what they call it when the wire moves, we're not overly concerned about it. We're like, we know it works. We're really testing the boundaries now.
Bob, thanks for the call. So the wires, okay, I'm sorry, I got to geek out here for just a second.
Yeah.
All right. The wires are not touching the spinal cord. They're in that canal, right?
Yes.
What's in the canal?
So the epidural space, you know.
What's in there?
You know, you have some nerves are coming out of there. You have some CSF fluid. You also have some blood vessels are in there. There's a lot of components taking place in the epidural space.
Okay, well, my question is, you're sending a signal. Mm-hmm. How do you get the signal? Is it induction? How do you get the signal into the spinal cord?
Through the battery generator.
No. I mean, right, but the leads are in space. They're not touching the spinal mm-hmm. cord, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get any pain relief? How are you getting that signal, that electrical charge into the spinal cord?
So all our nerves, say like our nerves in your lower extremity, they all run through our body and they go into your spine. What these fibers, what these electric signals do is they inhibit certain nerve fibers.
I get it. But what I'm saying is, if they're not touching the spinal mm-hmm. cord, how do you get that signal into the spinal cord?
It's just shooting its...
All right, man.
It's just shooting its electrical impulses.
Sounds a little magical, but I trust you on that. Let's go to Michelle in Albany. Michelle, you're on.
Hi. Great. Hi. Thanks for the call, and I'll try to condense this as much as possible.
Okay.
My 26-year-old daughter has had pain management problems almost since birth, and she, at the age of 8, had something called abdominal migraines that were treated with cyproheptadine. She had about 4 years of good health with that, good feelings, pain-free, and then outgrew that medication and proceeded to have 3 consecutive concussions where she was placed into the Pediatric Pain Rehabilitation Center in Waltham. That's part of Boston Children's Hospital, and emerged from that program very successfully and pain-free. She's now back at the point where she has these chronic migraines. She gets treatment of Botox. She takes medication prescribed by a neurologist, but she continues to be controlled by these migraine headaches that are really quite debilitating. Any treatment you do, help with that.
Okay.
I think, it seems like she is getting quite a good amount of treatment, especially she's having Botox injections. You can always consider other medications. There's always newer medications when it comes to migraines, always in the market worth considering as well. We also have to zone in where all of these migraine headaches are coming from. You know, migraines, as big of a concept of pain it is, there could be other secondary headaches that are also there as well. People could have something called cervicogenic headaches, which is headaches that are coming from your cervical spine. And it's sometimes when you have migraines and something like this on top, it all might be just clustered together as just, I have migraines, I have headaches. So sometimes you might have to tackle uh-huh. these migraines individually. Your daughter might have migraines. She could, if she's having posterior headaches, neck pain as well, she could have something called occipital neuralgia, cervicogenic headaches as well. And there's treatment options such as nerve blocks, nerve ablations, which could alleviate one component of those headaches. And if those generators are also causing some of those migraines for her, it could help for her as well.
All right, Michelle, thanks a lot and appreciate the call. We'll go to Bill in Westchester. Bill, you're on with Dr. Raj Murthy.
Hey, Dr. Murthy, thanks for taking my call. I've been going to different endocrinologists for a few months now, and I've been diagnosed with diabetic peripheral neuropathy. I've been put on multiple medications. None of that's starting to help me. I got numbness and tingling in my feet, and at night they feel like they're burning. I wanted to see if there's something. What would you do for me if I were to step into the office?
Hey, Bill. Thank you so much for calling us. You know, if you have painful diabetic neuropathy, which is what seems like this person might have, and whether you have a very high hemoglobin A1C, your medications is doing its best, but you're on high doses of these medications and there's really no treatment options. As mentioned earlier, for our other person who also called who had the neuropathy in the feet, a spinal cord stimulation would be a very viable option for this person. It's one of those treatment options where you actually get to test it out. And that's the biggest thing that I always advocate with people that come and see me is there's very few medical treatments, especially surgical treatments out there that you can actually test it out to see if it works.
Yeah.
And this being one of those options, you know, and if you're happy with it and you feel that this has given you not only pain relief, but also, you know, quality of living and made you improve the activities that you do on a daily basis, I would advise Bill over here to consider that treatment option.
Bill, thank you very much for the call. Quickly to Menands. Chris, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I am slowly recovering from COVID and rebound COVID, and I've been coughing a lot, and I've recently developed like back pain. I think it's in my lumbar region. And it just doesn't just hurt at any time. It hurts like all of a sudden if I try to get up out of a chair, all of a sudden I feel the severe pain, you know, and I have trouble getting up. And I've been taking a little bit of ibuprofen, trying not to take too much of it. And I've been advised to also take Tylenol, which doesn't seem to do much for me. And I'm just wondering, you know, what you might suggest. I'm going to be seeing a chiropractor on Wednesday.
Sure, Chris. I mean, if it's pretty certain and it's been confirmed that, you know, your back pain kind of originated from this excessive coughing and your COVID, it sounds like it's mostly musculoskeletal in nature. Advice mm-hmm. is, you know, you tried your NSAIDs, which if it's not helping, and your Tylenol, you can always try a muscle relaxant. Those are good medications because it could be a muscle pull mm-hmm. or a spasm taking place. You could try yeah. some like a lidocaine patch. For spasms, cold is better than heat. So cold yeah. compress, mm-hmm. That's a good option as well. Good massage mm-hmm. therapy is also options. Acupuncture. Mm-hmm. These are good options for spasms, especially for muscles. And if not, you looks like you're going to mm-hmm. go see a chiropractor. Hopefully they can do some manipulation to help you. Yeah. But I do
and the
think...
ibuprofen does help.
Okay.
The ibuprofen does help, but I don't like to keep taking it all the time, you know?
Sure, sure. So. I mean, if you're staying within like, you know, a 2,000 to 3,000 milligram daily dosage, you know, mm-hmm. I think you're within the boundaries for avoiding any kind of ulcers, et cetera, taking place. But always, you know, talk to your primary yeah. care doctor as well.
And Chris, I should let you know okay. that the day after Christmas, December 26th, we will have physical therapist Matt Goodemote on the program, who really likes to talk about back pain. So you might want to tune in for that one. Thank you very much for the call. All right, Doc, quickly. So I have this neuromodulator placed under my skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's 6 years now. Battery runs out. Replaceable?
Battery, you just take the old battery out and put the new one in.
But do you have to cut into the skin?
You do have to cut into the skin. So we don't have to cut in where we're taking the wires, et cetera, out. The battery is usually placed right above your buttock area.
Yeah.
And we open up that incision where the battery is. We take the old battery out. We put the new one in, and we close you back up.
All right, man. We are done. Thank you for making the drive up here. If people want to find out more about your practice, is there a website?
Yeah, NewVanceHealth.com.
.org
and
.org.
Yeah, exactly. And just look me up.
All right, buddy. Hey, thanks for being here. And well, I know you're a Yankee fan, but enjoy the baseball season all the same. Support comes from Upstate Dermatology, now with an office in Saratoga Springs, providing medical and surgical dermatology services, including Mohs surgery, with 6 locations in the Capital Region and Western Massachusetts. UpstateDerm.com. Once again, thanks to Dr. Raj Murthy for joining us today from New Vance Health. Thank you for listening. Tremendous calls, and very sorry if we didn't get to yours. We'll do this topic again next year as well. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Well done, sir. Phone screened expertly by Bob Rathman. Thank you, Bob. Tomorrow on the program, well, I hate to break the news to you, but winter is almost officially here. We will have News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselback on tomorrow afternoon to answer your weather questions. That's tomorrow at 2, not a.m., p.m. We'll see you then.